Let's do what we regularly do, and that's just before we read God's Word, let's ask Him to give us some insight. Ask Him to help us not just see it with our eyes and understand it with our mind, but even into the deepest part of who we are, in our hearts, in our spirit, really get what He's trying to say. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thanks. Help us to get from You. Help us to know it's from You. And we get it, and we know it's from You. Help us to move into that in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love that what God does is to help us understand who He is and what it means to be alive, what it means to be spiritually alive, what it means to be fully alive. He gives us stories because I like stories. I like stories of real people in real life. And so we're going to look at one of those stories this morning. It's found in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to read all the way through the story. Well, I say this usually. I'm going to read through it and try not to stop. I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to come back and break the story down a little bit. Okay? And if you have your Bible, you can look. You have your tablet, your phone. Whether you have any of that, it'll be on the screen behind me. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Well, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" asked Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you'd understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and we have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake," and this is a reference to something in the Old Testament that we're really not going to get at, but if you have time, kind of look up where what it's about. "And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." So I read it. I hope it kind of gives you a picture of where things are at. But I want to go back and I want to break down what I think is the starting place for an adventure. I think this story gives us a starting place if what we want to do is realize that God's glory is me fully alive. So what does it mean to be fully alive? And where does it start? This story gives a great lead into it. I'm going to go through a series of principles and then read some verses afterwards, okay? So here's the first principle, and it deals with the man who meets Jesus here, a man named Nicodemus. And here's the saying that I want to give you, that I want you to hold in your head for a second. Nicodemus is a seeker. We get some indication as to how big a seeker, how big an adventurer, how much would he risk just in the opening words. It says this, "There was a man named Nicodemus." Doesn't tell us a whole lot except that there's this person and his name is Nicodemus. A Jewish religious leader. So it gives us this context. It gives us his ethnicity. And it's going to talk about Jesus in a second, whose ethnicity is the same. It's Jewish. So there's a link here. This man named Nicodemus has an ethnic and in some ways kind of a religious umbrella link to Jesus. But then it says this. This man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, was also a Pharisee. This is where things start to divide. If they had their ethnicity in common, now there's a real division. Because this man, Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, is in a group called the Pharisees. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the Bible, but in the four books that talk about Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection, the people who were anti-Jesus more than anybody else was a group of people called the Pharisees. So in the opening lines here, we get a man's name, we get his ethnicity, which links him to Jesus, but then we get this title that he's a Pharisee. So let me tell you a little bit about the Pharisees. The Pharisees in their community and in Israel at that time, in their country, were civil and religious leaders combined. You'd almost have to travel to in our time to the Middle East to find anything that would be similar to that. That the leaders, whatever leaders you looked at, were not only civil, they made all the laws of the land, they represented the people, but they were also the religious leaders. And they'd been in place for a while now. They'd been entrenched in authority and power for a long time. So much so that if you grew up in that country, in that community, you recognized them as a leader immediately. And if they said this, then you better go in that direction. Because if you went in the opposite direction, it sent you in contrast to them. Almost in conflict. So from the beginning, this man, Nicodemus, who holds some things in common with Jesus, also is set against him. He's a Pharisee. But we go into the second verse and we find out some more interesting details. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. A lot of times when you see the Pharisees talking to Jesus, it is in conflict. It's in trying to set him up, in trying to get him to answer a question in a wrong way. Almost like news reporters are trying to do with the presidential candidates. Not like our presidential candidates need a lot of setup to say the wrong thing, right? A lot of times it's that way. That's what the Pharisees are trying to do. In this case, that's not what's happening. In fact, this man, Nicodemus, comes to have a serious conversation with Jesus Christ. He's looking for some answers. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. And here's how. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So he's at least gone this far. Listen, I know that we're both from the same heritage, the same country, but I also know that we're divided in many ways because I'm going in this direction and you seem to be going in this direction. But before we get too far apart, there's some things I want to know. There's some questions I need to ask. And I want to talk to you personally about this because I know there's something different about you. I don't know exactly what it is, but I need some answers. Nicodemus is a seeker. Seekers are people who are willing to take risk. It's the person who would be willing to stand on a bridge with a rope tied around their ankle and take a leap. There's risk that goes with that, right? Seekers are the ones who they want to find out what a full life really is all about. It was a risk. This was a serious risk. Listen to another verse in John chapter 12, verse 42. It says this, many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. Do you get the setup here? Do you get the setup? The Pharisees were basically saying, it's us or it's Jesus. But this Pharisee said, I've got to lean into this a little bit more. I know it's a risk. I know I may be pushed away. I know it's a risk, but I'm willing to take that risk. Here's the second thing about seekers. Seekers are honest. Seekers are honest. The very best that that Nicodemus could muster, the very best that he could muster, was this. Listen, we all know you're from God because we've seen these miracles that you've done. And then he just kind of left it hanging there. Seekers are honest. They're willing to take risks and they're honest. So I've never bungee jumped and I never plan on it in my lifetime. Like there are some adventures that I'd love to do. And there's some that they're out of the realm. Several years ago, a friend of mine said, hey, my company's shutting down for 2 weeks and I'm going to go jump out of a plane and parachute. Would you go with me? I didn't have that on my bucket list. It wasn't on my bucket list, but I just thought, well, that sounds kind of cool. So we did. He set it up, set the date up. We went to the instructional thing. And I'm so thankful for this. I don't know when, maybe 15, 20 years ago, when you take your first jump, you have to be buddied to a professional, right? Because think about this. Before, you didn't do that. Like, you just jumped out of the plane. So they were going to buddy us to somebody. And the guy they were buddying me, I know this isn't a shock, but he was taller than me. Yeah. He's bigger than me. He's strong. Young dude, and I said, how many jumps have you done? He said, oh, over 250. I felt a little bit better. They strap it on. You watch this instructional video. They strap it on. They get you all, or they get you all ready, and then they show the hookups that's going to happen, and then you get in this small plane. And the time I was going to go, it's me and my friend, and then it's a professional jump parachute team. And so they're like, can I just say this about professional parachuters? They're crazy. They're crazy. They're going, yeah, we get to do this. They're walking up real calm, and I'm just trying to do my best. Right? Remember, seekers take risks, and they're honest. So we get in the plane, and we get up higher and higher, and they've got the door wide open, and you feel the breeze coming in, and this group of professionals is going, and so we're going to do this. We're going to hook up elbows and arms, and then I'm going to go in your ear, and, you know. And I'm going, just don't let me die. So the friend that I went with decided he was going to give me a gift. He was going to have me jumping out of the plane videotaped. I thought it was a kind of a cool thing that he was going to do that until later on. Because at points, like, maybe this wouldn't happen with some of you, but with me, like, when you're plummeting to the ground, the wind is so hard that your cheeks are going, rrr. I realized he just did this so he could laugh at me for the rest of my life every time we watch that video. A few minutes before we jumped out, the guy said, how you feeling? And I said, pretty good. And a couple minutes later, he said, how you feeling? I said, okay. We're about 1 minute away, Tim. How you feeling? Not so good. And this is the part that I really want to get to. It came my time to go. And all the professional people, they just jumped out. I mean, they just, woohoo, you know. They're leaping like, you know, they're diving off a diving board in a pool in a backyard, that kind of thing. And he said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get up here and you're going to put your knees on the edge of the door and you're going to hang your knees a little bit out of the edge. And then I'm going to chain myself to you. I'm going to hook myself to you. And then when I say go, we're going to tumble out. We're just going to fall out. And I thought this was so appropriate because I was down on my knees and my legs are hanging out. And by this, like I had never thought about this, you're feeling the wind of the plane go by you. My knees are there and I'm thinking, what does this remind you of? Oh, yeah, somebody being executed. That's what it reminds you of. Now, I'll never forget this. He said, Tim, you ready? And I said, yes, I am. Not that I believe that. And he said, no, really, Tim, are you ready? And I said, yes, I am. And for a third time, he goes, Tim, are you ready? And I said, like almost irritated, yes, I'm ready. And he said, well, then would you let go of the plane, please? Because unbeknownst to me, my hands were locked on the frame of that door. Of course, you know, I let go of it. And when I let go, we tumbled, took a flip. And this is how good they are. We took a flip. And as I came out of the flip, the cameraman was like 5 feet from me. You know, later on, I saw what I looked like. No. So what I want to tell you is, seekers are willing to take risks, but they're also honest. How you feeling? Good. How you feeling? Okay. How you feeling? Not so good. Are you ready to go? I think I am. Like, I thought I was being completely honest. Are you sure you're ready to go? I am. Don't ask me this question one more time. Okay, I won't, if you'll let go of the plane. Here's the first thing I saw in Nicodemus. Nicodemus, this man who we know his name, who has some connection to Jesus because of heritage, also a division, comes and asks honest questions. Let me go on to the second principle here. Nicodemus is a seeker, and seekers seek for answers. You pick up in verse 3, Nicodemus has just said, we know you're from God. We don't know what the connection is, how deep it goes, but we know you're from God. And before he can ask any question, before he can say anything else, Jesus automatically leaps to an answer. And it's going to be the answer that they're going to deal with through the whole conversation. He's going to set this framework, and he's going to say, listen, if you want to start on a spiritual adventure, it starts with this statement, and then we're going to talk about it. We're going to figure out what that means. So Jesus replies this, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the bottom line. If you want to know what's the bottom line, here it is. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I love that he talks about the kingdom of God here. Because it's not a place somewhere from here. It's not a place that you can get to sometime in the future. It's the kingdom of God right now. It's man fully alive right now. Not man fully alive someday in the future. Man fully alive right now. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And here's the question. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And then just a few verses later in verse 9, how are these things possible? I love this. I love how these questions spill out from Nicodemus here. Like Jesus makes this statement, you have to be born again. Words that Nicodemus had never heard before. An idea that he had never heard before. Because he was Jewish and he thought that at his birth, when he was born into the Jewish nation, he was already part of this. But now Jesus says something that really throws him for a curveball. What do you mean? Like, isn't that your first response? That's my first response. When somebody tells me something that's mind-blowing, my first response is, what do you mean? And then my brain kicks in a little and my logic kicks in. And that's exactly what's happened to him. He goes, well, how can a grown man enter his mother's womb and be born again? Like, that's just crazy. And then as he has time to digest it a little bit more, he just comes to this. How is this possible? So it starts off saying Nicodemus is a seeker. And really, that's the question God has for all of us. Tim, are you a seeker? And then it goes to this idea that seekers seek answers. And then there's this third thought. And this is really the heart of it for me. God's answer always has two parts. This is really important for us to understand. If we're going to go on this adventure, if we're going to really be alive, fully alive, we've got to understand when God gives us an answer, there's always at least two parts to it. And those two parts are the concrete, the part that we can understand, the part we can grab a hold of. And then the mysterious, the part that's bigger than us. So look, he says, you must be born again. And he says, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb? And how are these things possible? And then this is Jesus' reply in verse 5. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Do you get that? Like, do we get what water is? I just happen to have a cup of water up here. We get that, right? In our lives every day, we have something concrete called water. Something that we understand, we can connect with. But then he goes on and says this, the water being born of water and the Spirit. That's that mysterious part. Humans can reproduce only human life. Do we get that? Like, we get that. That's that concrete part. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual part. That's that mysterious part. Like, he's trying to link to Nicodemus. He's trying to say, you understand water, you understand birth, you understand kids being born. Well, I want to add to that the Spirit. The Spirit gives spiritual life. I want to add to that. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, right? We can feel that. We can walk out the door today and that wind can hit us and we can be refreshed by it. Or in our case, in the Midwest lately, we can be frozen by it. But we get that part, don't we? We get that wind part. That's the concrete part. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. There's that mystery. Do you understand every adventure you go on, no matter if it's this one or bungee jumping, that there's some concrete and there's some mystery? Right? Like I watched the video the day I was going to jump out of that plane and I got that, okay, they're going to, at this 5,000 feet, they're going to pull the cord and we're going to drop at this speed for this long. Right? You could get that. You can go, and this guy's going to be hooked to my back, and he's big, and he doesn't want to die. And he's good at this. Like, I can get that. But until I did it that day, there's a lot of mystery that went with it. And even after doing it that day, a lot of mystery. Here, let me just tell you one of the mysteries that day. Maybe one of the most perfect moments I've ever had in life was just after we tumbled out of the plane and my brain started screaming, stop screaming, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. And before he had me reach back and pull the cord. Because in that time, and it lasts for about a minute, you're in free fall. You're dropping. And I don't know what the speed is, you're dropping at a speed. Let me just put it this way. Here's how fast you're going. If you hit the ground, you're done, okay? You're falling that fast, but here's the perfect moment. It doesn't feel like you're moving. Like it feels like you're just suspended in air. That you're suspended there and you can look down and see the ground, but you're just suspended there. And in that time, there is this, like, it still is a mystery to me. I'm plummeting to the ground so fast that if there isn't a parachute, I'm in trouble, but it feels like I'm suspended in air, and it's like this perfect moment. If it weren't for the because you're going so fast, or if it weren't for the guy on my back who thought he was doing a comedy routine because the camera was on, so while I'm going like that, he's laying on my back going, like that. But for me, as I'm falling, it's like this perfect moment. Like you're just suspended there. That's what he's trying to say here. There are parts we can get. We understand the water, human birth. We understand that. Then there's parts that are, there's still a mystery. Even after we do it, we don't understand it completely. That's the Spirit. That's the Spirit giving spiritual life. So he gives this illustration of the wind. You can feel it, but you don't understand it completely. But you know it's there. In verse 9, the seeker, the one who asks questions, says, how are these things possible? Jesus replied, you're a respected Jewish teacher and you don't understand these things. Like in this world, people think you have all the answers, but the truth is you don't even understand this basic idea that when God gives answers, some of it's concrete and some of it's mysterious, some of it's bigger than you. Verse 11, I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? He's just saying to this man who's seeking for answers, listen, start at the very beginning. Like, get this first idea in. If you want to start this adventure, know that here's the starting place. You've got to understand about spiritual life. Verse 13, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. Really, really huge. So in this idea of God's answer always has two parts. The parts that are concrete and mysterious. It doesn't matter where you slice the Bible, you're going to find this to be true. How many of you like, you've heard this verse, but you've heard it, but you don't necessarily like it. It's if somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Can I give you the concrete in that? The concrete is it hurts when somebody strikes you on the cheek, right? What's the mysterious part of that? When God says, turn the other cheek, that's really going to make the difference. I love this verse. Pray without ceasing. Like we get from the beginning, prayer somehow is a conversation from us to God. We get that. But then he adds the without ceasing part. That's that mysterious part. You know what he's saying to us there? That you can come to a place in your life where conversation with God is unbroken as you move through your life. It's unbroken as you move through your day. He tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. You know what he's giving us? He's giving us a concrete thing, our sight. We understand that. And then he's giving us something mysterious. He's saying, you can not just walk by your sight, but you can walk by this thing called faith, which is a belief that God is there and that he's got it. And whatever he tells you to do, you'll be okay. God's answer always has two parts. And this last part. God's answer is always relational. If I can't give you anything else, I want you to get this. God wants a relationship with you. If his glory is connected to me being fully alive, then the connection is a relational connection. And so he gives these words, John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. And I just want to stop there and talk a little bit about that. The most important things in life are relationships. The most important thing, I heard this years ago, nobody on their deathbed says, I wish I'd spent more time at work. They say, I wish I'd spent more time with the people that I loved. More time in relationships. Right? And so he starts it off right here, for this is how God loved the world. Let me just tell you something about when God talks about love, he doesn't define it. He describes it. Because in God's existence, in his mind, love is not just a thought. It's not just a feeling. It's a thought and a feeling that lead to action. So he says this. This is how God loved the world. This is his action. This is his display of it. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We've talked about this in the past here on a Sunday morning, that in the Bible, in the New Testament, two words for life are used. One is the life that's described this way. You're born, you live, and you die. And that's a gift from God, right? You were born, you get this gift of life, and then there'll come a time where you die. That's one of the words that's described. But that's not the word here. The word here is the word life, and then God attached another word to it, and it's the best way we can understand it, and that's a forever life. He says it here, an eternal life. It doesn't start at the end of when I live, I'm born, I live, and I die. It doesn't start then. It can start any place in here, any time. The first time, that first life he gives us is a gift, and this second life that he offers to us is also a gift. If you want to know the starting point, it's here. And Nicodemus had this question that many hundreds of years ago. And people before Nicodemus have had that question. In fact, philosophers tell us that everybody who lives any length of time at all comes to this question. Is there a God? Is there life after this life? So he says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God sent his Son into the world not to judge, but to save. Not to judge, but to save. Because this first life that he gives us, this birth, life, and death, is a gift. It's a gift, and it's a good gift. But this second life that he offers, this forever life, it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that never runs out. It's a gift that unless you grab a hold of, you're never really going to understand completely. God's glory is me fully alive. So in this confrontation that Nicodemus had questions, Jesus also had a question. Nicodemus' deep question was, how can I be connected with God in a forever way? And Jesus had this simple question back to him. Have you been born again? Have you been born a second time? Not the human birth, like we get that. We get the birthday that you celebrate from that. Not just that birth, but a spiritual birth. And I love that he puts it in this context because, man, we love when people have babies, right? We love it. Grandparents press their face to the glass of the nursery. And can you imagine the kid on the other side? The grandparent's face is flat into the window. And I'm glad babies can't understand at that point because the grandparents are saying something like this. He looks just like me. If the kid could understand it, he'd be saying, I hope I don't. You know, your face is flat. It's spread out all over. Like, we get that. We have parties for that, don't we? We have parties that we bring gifts to because life and birth should be celebrated. And God's saying, not just a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. So Nicodemus, the seeker, he came asking questions, and they were honest questions. Jesus asked him a question, and it was an honest question. And it's the question that I want to leave with us this morning. If you came same as Nicodemus, I know Jesus somehow is connected to God, I'm not sure. But I got some questions, and I'm willing to take risks, and I'm willing to ask those questions and be honest. Well, God has a question for us. Same one that Jesus asked Nicodemus. Have you been born again? Because if you want to start on this spiritual adventure, if you want to take that leap, starting point is understanding this spiritual birth. Let me go back to something I said earlier. There's going to be parts of it that are very concrete. There's parts of it that are a mystery. There's parts of it that we can understand in our humanity, like with our senses we can understand. There's parts that go bigger than that. Here's what I believe about every one of us, is that we know that already. That we know God's going to give us things that we can grab a hold of, and then he's going to give us things that are bigger than us. That only in the adventure can we begin to understand that. So the question is, have you been born again? How far will God go in this? Let me just give you two illustrations, okay? A little earlier in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, he says these words. It's talking about Jesus. He came into the very world he created, letting us know Christ is God. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, talking about the Jewish people, and even they rejected him. But look what he says. But to all those who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. That's what he's telling us. He's saying, listen, the God who created all that we know came here. And if we get that, if we don't understand it completely, but we grab a hold of it and we leap into it, we grab a hold of that, there's a spiritual birth that takes place. Not physical birth, spiritual birth. Let me go one step further than that, okay? This is out of the Old Testament. This is how much God wants to have this conversation. He wants seekers to ask questions, and he wants to give answers. Listen to what Isaiah 1:18 says. Come, sit down. Let's argue this out if necessary. Like, bring all your questions. Don't hold any of them back. If you're going to take this risk, I want to give you every answer you possibly can. I want you to be as honest as you possibly can. Come, sit down, let's argue this out. This is God's message. If your sins are blood red, they'll be snow white. If they're red like crimson, they'll be like this pure, brand new wool. You know what he's trying to do there? He's trying to take away every barrier that might be there in your life. Yeah, I'd like to have a conversation with God, but whew, I'm not sure if he wants to talk to me. Yeah, he tells us about this spiritual birth, but I'm not sure he wants me to be in his family. He makes it clear. Listen, let's hammer this out. Let's hash it out. Whatever questions you have, bring them. Let's work through this. Because here's the deal. I'll bust every barrier to get to you. That's good news. That's good news. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thanks. Thanks for giving this story about a man named Nicodemus who had some things in common with Christ but had a lot that would have pushed them apart. But he took a risk and was honest. He asked the questions that were on his heart. Jesus told him the truth, gave him answers, and then asked his own question. Take us through that process too, Lord. We're really looking. We're willing to take the risk and be honest. Talk this through with us. Hammer it out with us. Then, Lord, I pray for each one of us here today that we'll not only know our first birthday, but we'll know our second birthday too. We'll not only know when we were born into this world and into our family and into this life, it starts at birth and ends at death, that we'll not only know that date and celebrate it, but that we'll know our spiritual birthday too. And if up to this time we don't know what that is, Lord, I pray that we'll lean into that, we'll ask questions, and we'll know these words that you use here are true in our lives, that we are born again, born of the Spirit, born into the kingdom of God. And that knowing that's the starting point for this full life, this being fully alive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.